Good morning and welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for Sunday. Remember that Sunday's Brass Tacks is as a national custom brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. My name is Glenn Murray and I will be your moderator for today. And that is going to be made possible through the services of the inimitable Dennis Johnson, who will be producer and technical maestro. Remember, as is usual for Sundays, our program goes from 11 a.m. to 1:15 p.m. and we can be reached on the phone at 434-1790, WhatsApp 266-4862. Today we'll be examining the development of what of a topic that's on everybody's minds and lips, I believe, in Barbados at this time, the forthcoming by-election in St. George North to replace Glenn Clark, with the electorate of St. George North scheduled to go to the polls on November 11th. And to make that possible, we're going to be doing that with the services and contribution of a number of persons. Before we get into that, the panel, let me give you a brief description of St. George North for those who might only know it by the map or by reputation or never not familiar. And I'm speaking as a resident of the last 35 years. I'd like to describe St. George North as, and it gives me a chance to, use a term I've wanted to use on the radio for a long time. St. George North is bucolic. That's B-U-C-O-L-I-C. Not rural, but bucolic in the sense that its whole environment allows you to appreciate the niceness and the niceties of country life and country living, while at the same time having appreciation and access to other aspects of life. It's St. George North is a constituency that has became a single member constituency in 1971 after the institution of single member constituencies, which took over from the double member constituencies. It's essentially a mixture of agricultural, commercial, like industrial, services, some manufacturing, also has a number of services, medical services by doctors, and there's a polyclinic at the Glebe. And I understand there's a legal service coming with the erection of a building now at Salters, which is underway. We in St. George North also have an ATM machine, there's a police station, there's a fast food outlet, there's a resource center, two gas stations, supermarket, mini marts, shop, rum shops, churches, schools, etc. The fair round. So we are very much a well-equipped mini society in its own right. And to help bring our topics to life, I'd like to introduce you to our panelists, our all special panelists today. First of all, let me introduce you to Dr. George Braffitt and also Mr. Devron Roof, two political scientists from the University of the West Indies. And if they can say a quick hello, or as they say, a shout out.
Hello, good morning to you and your guests. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, most welcome.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Glenn, and good morning, Brass Tacks family. Good morning, the representatives of all the political parties involved. Good morning to Barbados. Happy to be here.
I want to thank you for participating, gentlemen, and I also want to thank all the representatives from the various political parties, five of them, because I know that at this time they must be very busy in their own right, and they really must have been a sacrifice to come here. And I hope, therefore, we'll make it worthwhile for all concerned in your contribution. So we have represented the various parties, and I'm going to give them names alphabetically. It's Raquel Jilks, who's representing the United People's Party, and she's the Assistant General Secretary. Raquel?
Good morning.
Morning. Followed by Paul Gibson of the PDP, People's Party for Development.
Good morning. I hope everybody's doing well.
Good. Thank you for coming, and thanks for participating. Next is Graham Phillips of Solutions Barbados.
Yes, good morning to everyone.
Yes, good morning. Then representing the Barbados Labour Party is Minister Kerry Simmons. Good morning, Kerry. Hello.
Good morning, everyone. How are you all?
Good to have you. And rounding up this distinguished team is Ms. Verlyn DePisa, President of the Democratic Labor Party. Good morning, Ms. DePisa.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone and to the listeners as well.
Before we start a dive into the program, I take a break to acknowledge the contribution of Williams Industries Incorporated.
You depend on BRC for genuine permaclad, color clad, and permaseam steel roofing products. But did you know you can depend on BRC for installation too? That's right. BRC has several experienced roofing teams to handle your roof installation professionally, using tested and proven fasteners and methods with satisfaction guaranteed. When it comes to roofing, there's no substitute for experience, and BRC's crews will give you a great job at a great price. Have your roof installed by the experts. BRC.
Welcome back to Brass Tacks Sunday. Remember, we are focusing today on St. George North by election on November 11th. And particularly, we'll be looking at the issues which participants think have emerged since then and are likely to emerge in the future, and also the impact of coronavirus on the programming and campaigning of the political parties and their candidates. Before we go there, I'd like to lay down a number of ground rules, if I might, for the proper conduct of the program. I expect we have good, vigorous, strong debating from all third parties debating, because each body is qualified in that area. But in doing so, I'd like to everybody respect each other's presence of participation. No talking over each other's head, no shouting. If you're asked to give way, please give it. I try to allocate as much time as possible equally to everybody and give a Barbadian performance, and not what we would have seen in North America a few days ago, which was an embarrassment to the humanity. So I respect you, your contribution. I want you to make sure that at the end of the day, we make a valuable contribution to enhance the reputation, not only of yourself, but the institutions with which you represent. To remind the public, we have five candidates. There's Ambrose Grosvenor of the UPP, and I'm reading in alphabetical order. Senator Tony Moore of the Barbados Labour Party. Granville Phillips, Solutions Barbados. Floyd Reefer of the DLP. And David Waldron of the PDP. Ladies and gentlemen, the campaign was officially launched, I would say, on the 20th of September with the BLP holding its first what used to be called a mass meeting at Flat Rock St. George. And it was a packed program, from what I saw on YouTube, with about eight speakers. And that was followed then by the PDP, which launched its candidate at the Glebe on October 3rd. Since then, the other parties, I think, are campaigning, meeting at various dimensions and in various ways as the campaign has gathered momentum. I'd like to first of all ask the representative, and I start by those who started the campaign first, if I may do that. So therefore, I'd call it Carrie Simmons first, Minister Carrie Simmons, to tell us what in your view are the first two major issues that have been raised, have arisen, have emerged out of the campaign so far, and tell us why you think that they're that significant.
Glenn, I thank you, and good morning to your guests, and good morning to listeners. In the canvassing that I've done, Glenn, I have been in the area where you live, actually, albeit a different side of Rowans, and in the Glebe Land area. And I think that there are two themes that come out. One is a certain degree of fear about the future in terms of job security and financial well-being. And I think that is understandable given the nature of the scourge of the pandemic, not only on Barbados, but internationally. And then the other one is more of the ideal. What does the future hold? What plans do we have as a government in order to help deal with the concerns about jobs, sustainability of small business ventures, that type of thing? Obviously, from time to time, you do come across the more traditional concerns about roads and services, but those would be the initial findings that I personally have had in the constituency.
Thank you, Kerry. Then there will be Mr. Gibson, Paul Gibson of the PDP, what would be your two choice issues that have arisen so far in your campaign and in your electioneering up to date?
Again, thank you to the guests and the listeners. Our observations were that we've been getting a sense that people have been angry about Glenn Clark's sudden departure at such short notice. He said he wasn't old, he wasn't sick, and he had 2 years left. And so we're getting, as a party, we're getting those questions being asked. We also are getting feedback about the sidelining of Faye Burt as a candidate. You know, so we were getting that feedback as well. And the matter of crime, where the Barbados Labour Party, under their leadership in 2019, they've had the highest crime rate of any government, of 50 persons dead, which is the highest we've ever had. And these are some of the issues that the constituents are raising, the matter of roads and so on. So these are some of the concerns that we've been having. But the unemployment levels are of significant concern to persons. And this is something that we've observed.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Paul. Can I ask Ms. DePisa to give her views on what her party has found to be the two most seriously emerging issues so far?
Thank you very much. We're having a mix. Definitely quality representation is on the minds of the people of St. George North, and they are determined that they are to have choice in their representation. They're very clear on that. And just like everybody else in the country, they're having concerns in relation to their futures. The unemployment rate is significant. They have felt that impact as well. The scare for the future and wanting to feel some hope and get a feeling that their position will be put. And of course, you will always get the infrastructural complaints. The roads are in really bad condition, especially further inland you go in St. George North. The opportunities for young people, that's critical for them, and seeing other ways of making a living is very important to them as well.
Thank you very much, Rilla. I'd like to call on Granville Phillips of Solution Barbados. Would you give us your take on the situation as the emerging issue so far?
Yes, but just to properly introduce myself, I am the president of Solutions Barbados and the candidate for St. George North. I ran in 2018 as a candidate for Solutions Barbados in St. George North, and I'm doing so once again. Now, the issues, it really depends on who you speak to, because what we found in our analysis of voters is that there tend to be three broad categories. One, there are those who are just diehard supporters of either the Barbados Labour Party or the Democratic Labour Party. They are just interested in promoting their candidate. The second group are those who are disillusioned because of the repeated broken promises. And they usually explain to us that they have no intention whatsoever of voting. And usually they won't listen to us because even though we have plans to make St. George North the most prosperous constituency in Barbados, they would not listen to our plans until they have told their sorry tale of all the broken promises. And then they listen to us. And the third category are the cynics. They're very cynical. They just believe that all career politicians are liars. Really, all politicians are liars, basically. That's what they believe. Not willing to listen. But when we explain that we are neither B nor D, there is then an opening, and we get to talk to them and bring them on our side. Now, what the stark difference between 2018 and 2020 is that the partisans, the extreme partisans, were in the great majority in 2018. Now they seem to be in the minority. The largest groups are the cynics and the disillusioned the smallest group I have found. And again, I've been around St. George now twice since the elections were called. And I'm finding that the smallest group are these partisans, even those who are extremely partisan the last time, who wouldn't even allow me to speak. This time, they're welcoming me.
Thank you, Greville. But I must point out that you're, in all fairness to the discussion and to listening to, I must point out that your findings would be very narrow, highly anecdotal. As far as I'm concerned, I have not discerned that you have, it'd be based on a scientific basis, any scientific survey to see how representatives of the whole constituency or just representative reactions to your party.
Yes, but we have been in just about every community in St. George North, every community, talking to people in the various communities, and this is what I'm getting. Now, yes, it's not a formal scientific survey. I agree with that. But as I said, I was the representative in 2018. I'm the representative now, going through the same areas. Like, there are some shops that they would not give me the light of day. I mean, they are full BLP shops. They're hives. And yet this time, the last time the lady listened to me, and then she put on a red shirt and started doing a jig, shouting, all aboard, and would not listen to me. This time, she listened to every word and took one of our flyers, which she would not do the last time. So I'm saying there's a little change. There's a shift.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can go back to your initial, I'd like to give about 2 minutes or so to each person to pick up on anything that any other person has said, any of the other contributors that you might need to put your position on, your party's position, or to find issue with. Can we start with you again?
Yes, Glenn, sorry about that.
Is there anything that you want to take issue with?
I was recovering from Grenville's story about the lady doing the jig.
I didn't get to state my party's findings.
Sorry, Raquel. I'm sorry. Sorry to Kerry. Sorry to.
I'm very happy to give it to Raquel. She has to have a chance, Glenn, certainly.
Yeah, Raquel, please. Please accept my invite. I had you. You're on already bottom of the page, and the page was covered. Please give your party's position on this couple of issues.
Okay. Well, I'm Raquel Jiltz. Again, hi to everyone, and I'm from the United Progressive Party. We have found that, of course, Barbadians all over, and including St. George North during this particular campaign, they do have the issues at heart, obviously, that was mentioned. They're fear of the future. They're worrying about the protocols. They're thinking about business and what's going to happen going forward with jobs. And, you know, they do share those general concerns. But I'm thinking that there are two specific things that we noticed. It came from the Glebe and a few other of the housing areas. There's the concern with persons who cannot get their conveyance for their lots that they've bought from the government. And also the persons in Lower Estate, they're still getting a noxious odor from an illegal dump, and the government had promised to address it. And they're very, very concerned about that. I mean, those are things that are specific to St. George, because, well, yes, a lot of the persons who would not be affected by those things do share the general concerns that most of the other parties have expressed. Those things are very, very specific to St. George North, along with the services and the buses and whatever. There are really at least three districts, the housing areas, who are very anxious to get their conveyances for their houses. And then there's the dump. That's what I have found.
Thank you very much, Raquel. Now, can we go back to Kerry, who was primed to say something on the initial contribution by persons earlier? Kerry?
You had invited me, Glenn, to right. Follow up on. And as I was saying, I listened with some amusement to the way in which Greville put his tale. I would say that, you know, the last occasion I was in St. George, it would have been yesterday, and the morning was laden. It is almost reminiscent of the story told in Castle of My Skin by George Lamon. The morning was laden with cloud, and it passed into noon, and noon became a sudden grim evening. But the fact of the matter is that you were able to take some consolation even as you paused to shelter in chatting with people very casually. And I would have to say that what I was hearing was the quite exact opposite. There was a tone of satisfaction about the fact that we were a government that was able to deliver sanitation improvement in the constituency. The people were very comfortable with the fact that there were 29 new garbage trucks on the roads in Barbados, and that the quality of sanitation services in the parish of St. George had improved. I am sure that that has been your personal experience, Glenn, and I am sure it has been Grenville's as well. It is equally true to say that in the area of Glebeland, where I was during the course of last week, there was some considerable discussion about the new buses. And people were quite frankly excited about the new electric buses on the road. And again, it is a very palpable and obvious change. You have 33 new buses on the road today. You have a substantially enhanced bus service across the island. It is felt in St. George as well as everywhere else. And the Prime Minister would have announced a couple nights ago that there are 13 more on order. with regard to the healthcare and in the constituency, again, people were satisfied that was going well. The polyclinic was functioning. And I was actually reminded of the fact that some of the pressure is taken off of the one in the Glebe because the 24-hour service that now exists at the David Thompson Polyclinic. So I do not hear that which Grenville has been articulating, I must tell you. I think that people obviously are concerned about the consequences of COVID, but equally, I think that they feel a sense of comfort that they are in the hands of a government that has not stopped working hard, that has shown, even in difficult circumstances, a capacity to deliver in a way that the administration that we replaced did not deliver over a 10-year period. In 2.5 short years, we've been able to do some things that touch the people in a very direct way. And I think that a very honest and candid representation of that is really what people are seeing and reflecting.
Thank you, Gary. Were you, might I ask, were you able in those encounters to minimize, if not eradicate, the fears of the future? What was your response to this? You also mentioned there was evidence and presentation of the fears of the future.
There's a question in Barbados, obviously, about the future. And I think every one of us must have that concern. And my own view, especially as minister with responsibility for small business and related types of activity, is that you have obviously to try to point people in the direction of opportunities that now exist. And really and truly, where businesses have suffered, my ministry has been reaching out to businesses on an individual basis, identifying not only what they perceive to be the problem, but trying to hold hands and partner with entities so as to ensure sustainability. Because it isn't only always about finance. Sometimes it is about the need to have technical assistance. Sometimes it is about understanding how you change your business model. It can be a range of things that have impacted people in these circumstances, which are obviously all unprecedented. So, you know, the whole thing really has to be about dialogue. I think the useful part of this election is that it will enhance the dialogue between those of us who are in the business of representing people and those of the people who are being represented, and it gives them a chance to ventilate their concerns. And certainly as a policymaker, I benefit from the opportunity of hearing the concerns and thinking through the strategic responses to them.
Well, one more question before I go to someone else. Were you able to deal with, I'm particularly interested in this question of the future and concern about the future. There will be a short-term future and a long-term future. Were you able to, and I heard candidate Tony Moore, Senator Tony Moore say this at your last meeting, at Newbury, where she said that, sure, they're creating jobs for the future. They're working on creating jobs for the future, but she wants the Prime Minister to know that people want jobs now. Were you able to give them any more immediate hope now, or is it still just largely the future?
I think, Glenn, that you would know that you cannot just give somebody a job now. In each and every circumstance. But what do we have to do?
we have to make sure that we upskill and that we train people and put them in a position where they can now be, in some instances, more entrepreneurial and self-employed. And we also have to make sure that for those people who continue to be employed, that there are more talented in terms of the capacity that they have to service their workplace. Now, let us use the hotel and tourism sector. Obviously, you would be aware that there's a substantial effort going on at training and retraining workers across that sector. And those would be thousands of people who are now in the process of being trained, so that if you were a room attendant before, we would want to imagine that after this period has passed and the hotels are reopened and doing business again, you have more skills than just being a room attendant. You may be able to do a higher grade of work as a result of the training. In the context of those people who are self-employed, the issue really becomes a question of making sure that they're able to access opportunities as well for deepening their understanding of how you manage a business, how you, as I said, do go through the process of refinancing. A lot of people are daunted by the prospect of facing the bank now because they don't know what options they have at their disposal. There are a lot of people who have not quite thought about partnering with other persons in clusters.
Minister Simmons, with all due respect, I've heard a lot of this from your predecessor, from you. It's all well and good. What? But I say, because I must point out that people have told me about that argument that it's already to be upskilled, as they say these days, or upgrading your skin. But they're not sure what jobs they're being prepared for, and that when these jobs will come over. How do you prepare people for jobs which are you not certain exactly what they'll be like or when they will come on stream?
But Glenn, I think that is true of every one of us who are living. All of us would know that we wanted to have a job, but we weren't sure what the job was going to be. I'm not understanding that question at all. I don't know that I could convince a public that I am seeing if I say to them, I'm going to give each of you, every one of you, a job immediately in these circumstances. What I must do...
I was not talking about immediately.
Your question in a way would raise the issue of the short term to the extent the short term might be immediacy.
I did not imply immediacy, in all due respect. So I interpret it that way.
But let's not squabble over that. More substantively, I think, is the reality that nowhere in the world is there a solution to this problem of COVID. What we have to do is to make sure that we do our best to put people, and whether it means using available technologies. For example, I meet next week with a set of people who have designed a software application which will allow us to put it on our cell phones and use it for the opportunity of enabling taxi drivers who are now standing without any clients in a car park of an empty hotel to be able to roam around Barbados and be able to offer their services in the same way as you do it in the United States or in Canada or in England by way of Uber or Lyft, et cetera. But not for each and every driver, but for the registered taxi, so that we put bread and butter on their table by allowing Barbadians to keep Barbadians employed.
I get the picture.
That's sufficient short term for you?
Yeah, I get the picture, Minister Simmons, and thank you very much for your ample contribution. I now go to Paul Gibson to see if he wants to respond to some of the issues on what his party is proposing?
Thank you so much because I am very concerned, and we as a party we are very concerned, and David Waldron, the candidate for us in George North, is very concerned because when we go around the constituency, exactly what Kerry is saying is happening, which is that there are a lot of unemployed people who are unskilled, and the reality is that the Barbados Labour Party has not been putting things in place to create jobs in Barbados. We have lost $600 million from tourism, for which Kerry was responsible. Before COVID, it was going down like 3%. I mean, they had lost market share. And the point is that
Mr. Simmons, let me finish, Kerry.
Before the COVID came, persons were being laid off by the Barbados Labour Party. Before COVID came, we were not looking at industries where we could move away from tourism in the international banking sector, We have not looked at manufacturing to have persons manufacture products so they can export, so we can get yen, pounds, Canadian dollars, and so on. Right now, we are just borrowing money, $2 billion. And unfortunately, the Barbados Labour Party has not been looking at the other part of the economy. And even in the middle of COVID, where they know that they're no tourists, they're still looking to put $130 million in hotels that are empty. And persons are can't get the severance. Persons are hungry. And this is what we're seeing in St. George North. Persons are very concerned that the government has been focusing on tourism. Now, St. George North is an agricultural belt. And David Waldron, the candidate, is a farmer. He understands agriculture very well. And as we move through the constituency, we've been observing that persons need fertilizer, persons need support, tractor services, and so on to get these large, empty areas of fallow, hectares of fallow land sowed up with food and so on. We've been realizing—
And what specific proposals would your party, or has your party been proposing to deal with these issues as this year?
Well, I'm so happy that you asked that, Glenn, because this is what the PDP is about. We are a party that not are a lot of smoke and mirrors and talk like the Barbados Labour Party. And unfortunately, that is what they have been. But the people of St. George North have said, stop. Enough of the smoke and mirrors. Tell us exactly what you are going to do. How are we going to get additional funds in? And some of the things we suggested are, one, we take over 6 months sometimes to open an international bank in Barbados. Cayman and St. Lucia take weeks. These are low-hanging fruit that we can look at doing ease of doing business in Barbados that would bring persons in too. The PDP wrote a proposal to the government of Barbados most recently, where we know that Ghana, for example, with 31 million people, have a 6% rate, is the sixth highest country with illegal and counterfeit drugs. We in Barbados, we suggested, and we have the expertise, we have the knowledge, we can set up an FDA-approved plant in Barbados where we can export to Ghana, to 31 million people, pharmaceuticals that have a very high quality that can take care of the needs of the Ghanaian people and further send that then to the rest of Africa. You're looking at more than the tourism product would even offer in the short term.
Interesting proposal, Mr. Fels, Mr. Gibson, but can you bring it back to St. George North?
Certainly.
Right, what are they proposing for St. George North? That's fine, it's impressive, it's interesting. International business sector, for example, or international business altogether. But what exactly are you proposing for St. George North and your candidate seeking to promote?
Okay, let's go with the low-hanging fruit, first of all. The PDP has committed, as part of its school specialization policy, to making St. George Secondary an agro-oriented and an agro-business center, which would have an immediate impact on the environment in terms of farming, in terms of processing. And out of that, if we have gluts and so on, we can go to the point where we can manufacture and bottle and ship those types of items. We want to encourage development of technological initiatives in St. George North for the youth, because we realize that 30%, before COVID, we had a 30% youth unemployment. And so we believe in creating increasing the technological awareness of the persons in St. George North, where they can have jobs and be part of the global village and begin to bring funds into the country. We have plans and so on for that. We are looking at various initiatives in respect to the technology used in farming. In Canada right now, you don't have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and 5 o'clock anymore. You can digitize your farm in such a way that you can program your phone to begin to milk cows and so on at 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 in the afternoon. There are different technologies that we want to bring to the people of St. George North. In respect to so that's one of the things, but in respect to the issue of crime now. Sorry, go ahead.
Can you wrap it? I have to go to someone and see if you can kindly wrap it.
Yeah. But we have many more like that.
Okay, thank you. I'd like now to call on Ms. DePisa to give her take on what has been said so far, make any contribution she wants to take up, any issues that she's heard from the preceding speakers.
Thank you. My first amusement was that Minister Simmons, in the same breath, could say that people are satisfied with the government and confident that this government will provide for the future, but also feel fear. It really cannot be both. And what we have been experiencing is persons who are very, very concerned. Without being told specifics, they're reading the dire financial situation of the country, and they're wondering, they're hearing the mouthings like 7-year moratorium if the creditors would agree, but we would still be buying. And these are persons who run households, so they know what happens when you don't pay creditors, but you're out there shopping. You know, so they're feeling that disconnect with what they're hearing and what they're seeing. And that truly is one of the critical points that's coming out of the campaign. They're tired of talking. They don't want long talk anymore. They want someone who is going to do. And that really is very critical. Things were going wrong before COVID. COVID is a convenient excuse for the government of the day, but things were going wrong before COVID. And they were feeling that squeeze before COVID. So this by election allows them to speak up in terms of what they were experiencing and what they really, really want. From before COVID, we needed to pivot. And I constantly speak of the Arrow Barrel lecture that I delivered in January because it gave the direction that the Democratic Labour Party wishes the country to go in. This was before COVID, and we were already speaking about letting go the dependence on tourism and spending the time developing other industries. And we also needed to develop around agriculture and around renewable energy, which the last administration started, because we also need to reduce how we spend our foreign exchange. So there are several different facets. We have to be providing very creative thinking for solutions. This is not business as usual. So speaking the same way that we were accustomed doing is really going to lose people.
Right.
We really have to be thinking differently now.
That's all well and good, but there are some who would say that, particularly short term, that given the DLP's track record when it was last in office in the economy, that that we need to hear more than just generalizations of future.
Yes.
First talk about the economy. Like I've asked Minister Simmons, give us some insight into what more is immediate and more short term for to improve the economy. Hello?
Pardon me, were you addressing me or were you addressing Minister Simmons?
No, I was addressing you. I was saying that.
Okay, give me your... you started that way, but then you went off. Yes, we need to have immediate solutions. And a lot of those immediate solutions center on agriculture. We have to be able to feed ourselves. And if we can get our people into agriculture in a meaningful way, not just encouraging the background, the backyard farming, but cooperatives, getting lands back into production. We have been promoting that the plantation lands that have been laying fallow because of litigation that was ongoing can be pressed back into service and as a matter of urgency. And we really need to be doing these things because they provide immediate employment. And they also provide a way of feeding ourselves while also reducing our bill. Because what there's a lot of talk about the last administration, but this administration's focus has been on borrowing to shore up foreign reserves. That makes bottom lines look pretty, but they don't actually impact significantly on the lives of people. And that really is what is critical at this point. We need to be focusing on the people and what will make the people comfortable in their own homes. Because right now, the outward focus isn't working. We have COVID that is closing borders either completely or partially. Travel is difficult. Everything is a different world now. Everything. So we really need to be thinking differently as well. And once we bring our politics back home to people, then we will be on the right track.
Thank you, Raquel. Can we hear you to wrap up this segment of the discussion of the UPP?
Well, the way I see it in St. George, it would need a two-pronged solution because, as everyone said, St. George is our Mesopotamia. It has the best agricultural lands, and obviously we would rather focus on capitalizing and putting some money into agriculture and food security rather than putting it in tourism, because we all know how the tourism market goes, and it really, tourism just provides jobs, but it really doesn't impact most of the persons who work in it in a meaningful way, that they could build generational wealth and that they can develop themselves. And I think it's time we in Barbados as a whole look to development. In St. George North, as you said, it's bucolic. It has a great percentage of agriculture, and we have not actually made any strides in agriculture recently in Barbados. And of course, the UPP would be looking to shore up our food security and to invest in agriculture in St. George. But also we have to invest in the orange economy, because there are young people in St. George who are not just interested in agriculture, although they are, and I'm not pretending that people aren't interested in agriculture. Like, we are being told that people are not interested in agriculture, but of course we know that that's not true. Many people are, but there are also some people that are looking to the orange economy. You can't travel, you can't do anything, but there's the internet. You can still exploit ways of making money on the internet. And one of the ways is, of course, to monetize social media, like how all the other influencers do in the rest of the world. You can get paid for YouTube, you can make content for various social media, and they're very interested young people in St. George who want to go into technology, who want to go into that field. And there's a huge developing scope for making apps and developing apps and getting involved in commerce on the internet. And this is the perfect time for it, because we have a very good internet service in Barbados on a whole, and the country is well covered. And then we have all this talent that is going to waste that can't exploit any money over the internet. And of course, ironically enough, what the government has done is put on user fees on doing anything on the internet, added on more taxes, burdened that area considerably, but has not really allowed the scope for persons to develop in the orange economy. And those would be the things that we think can be done immediately to
very well said, Ms. Jets. But how you're talking about borrowing, you're talking about revolutionary agriculture, the green, the orange economy, etc. But what about, you still must earn foreign exchange to live. What means, while the grass is growing, the horse is starving. How would you alleviate that starvation by earning?
But that's the thing, the orange economy gives you foreign exchange immediately. Because
you might want to explain to the public what exactly is meant by the orange economy.
But we had spoken, I had mentioned, for example, monetizing social media. Well, that gives you foreign exchange immediately, because we would have Bajans making foreign exchange on the internet. And that would be money flowing into Barbados.
Thank you very much. We take a break to acknowledge our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll go to the telephones for some calls.
I haven't gotten yet, though.
Williams Metals, choose us for your building needs at Williams Metals. We got what you need. We are the leaders in building materials. We offer lumber, cement, concrete,